to again be together this morning. I want to bless each one of you for being here. Dana made a comment a little bit ago that with Scott's daughter, we've been getting some good reports. And Tiffany is talking about two different Daves this morning. Your cousin Dave and her brother-in-law Dave that has a family member that passed. It must be the morning for Daves. I got a text this morning that my first cousin Dave, who we prayed for on Wednesday night, stepped out of the land of death this morning into the land of life. He's at home. We got a good report. It hurts us here, but we got a good report because he's walking with the Lord. Realities of life. I got a title this morning for my message, and it is Do All for the Glory of God. Let me ask you this morning, how much do you love God? Maybe you have an answer this morning. Maybe it's something you're just thinking about. How much do you love God? Okay, probably not enough. That's an honest answer. So let me ask another question. How much does God love me and you? More than we deserve. That's another honest answer. As we think about purpose of life, and I'm just going to be honest here. As we think about purpose of life, so many times we are walking our daily walk. We get up in the morning, we have our devotions because it's the thing to do. Rush off to work, we rush home, there's many things happening. We sit down in the evening, grab our Bible because we want to read a little bit, and we fall asleep. How much do I love God? Do I actually think about him throughout the day? Is it part of my everyday walk? Do all for the glory of God. I get the idea, and I'm guessing you probably do too, that God owes us a little bit. We deserve happiness, don't we? Marcus is shaking his head. What do we deserve? Hell. Isn't that sobering? But because of his great love, God's great love. Think about this for a minute. He sent his son, the only son he has. He sent him down to this sin-cursed earth to give his life so every single one of us in here this morning could spend our eternity with him. That's how big his love was, or is. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 10. And by the way, turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be talking a lot about love this morning. I didn't realize the Sunday school lesson had to do with love, but I guess it'll all just kind of flow together this morning, hopefully. So we're going to be talking a lot about love. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that verse is in the context of eating food that is offered to idols. So it seems like maybe I'm pulling this out of context a little bit, but the end of that verse says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's a key verse that I have this morning. If you're at 1 John chapter 4, let's go to verse 19. And this verse is one, it's short. Most of us know this verse. Maybe there's some children here this morning that don't know this verse. But I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to repeat this verse two times together, and maybe we'll get it within our thinking so we can ponder on this verse this week. I'm going to read it once, and then we'll say it together two times. We love him because he first loved us. Together. We love him because he first loved us. Again, we love him because he first loved us. You may be seated. I'm going to read from I'm just going to read the whole chapter of 1 John 4. The first six verses are not something that I'm really going to focus on, but there is a verse in the first six verses I want to pay special attention to. I have three verses in this chapter that I'm calling power verses. Power verses, because to me they have a lot of meaning. Let's begin in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world. And then this verse here is my power verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome. The word overcome, let's catch that. Have overcome them. Who? The false prophets, the Antichrist, the false doctrine. You've overcome them because why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Catch that this morning. If you are walking with Christ, you have somebody within you that is greater than the negative powers of this world, Satan. He is greater within you. Am I facing all kinds of struggles and trials and losing because I am not grabbing on to the fact that he's greater within me? He is greater than any of these. I want us to think about that this morning. He is greater. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Then in verse 7 is where I really want to begin this morning, and it talks a lot about love. We're going to begin in verse 7. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. We're just going to go verse by verse this morning. We're going to connect a couple of verses here and work our way through it. That way, I think we can save us just a bit of time because we are running fast already. Verse 7, beloved, who are the beloved? Those that are loved. Are you beloved this morning? Do you know that God loves you? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. This is God's DNA. Love is of God. That's where it comes from. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So again, I ask the question there. Do I love? Let's jump over to verse 15 and 16. We're going to connect. I've got a line drawn from verse 7 over to verse 15 and 16. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. That's our next power verse. God dwells in us. We dwell in him. I don't know how to explain that. I had to think about, I'm not sure what you call it. You buy these little things, maybe they're Chinese or something, but they're like little eggs. You pull the egg apart, there's another egg inside. You pull that egg apart, there's another egg inside. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody know what they're called? Russian nesting. They're not Chinese, they're Russian. Okay. So, there are these little cups that eggs that fit together. That's the only thing I could think about when I thought about he is within us, we're in him. We're together. We think about marriage. Vond and I are married. When we became married, we became one unit. We're two separate people, but we're one unit. I kind of had to think about that. He's in us. We are in him. It gives us a beautiful picture of a connectedness, doesn't it? Connected with him. Let's go to verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Again, we go back to the DNA, his character. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So we have this connectedness here with God, him loving us, us loving him. And let's see what happens with that. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's a sobering verse. If I don't love, I don't know God. I can try to convince you all I want to that I love you, that I love the brotherhood, that I love those that I work with. I said that wrong. That I love God. But you watch how I treat the brotherhood, how I treat those around me, is really going to tell you, where am I at with God? Do I really love, or is it all put on? Let's go to verse 9. In this was manifested or made known or showed to us the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. What verse does that make you think of? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, all of us, any of us, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's another verse that I have to think about when I read that. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out where I'm at here. I may not have written it down. We're going to skip. We're going to keep on going. Nope, I found it. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we even made that first move, in considering the fact of coming into agreement with him, he already loved us. There's times when I have a brother or a sister that comes to me, maybe it's my wife, that comes to me, and I want to see them make that first move to showing that they love me. He made the first move. We love him because he first loved us. He made the first move. And by the way, those words in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. There are two views on that. Some of the translations leave the word him out. We love because he first loved us. If you look at that word, it has the idea of she or him or it, a person. And it can fit in as we look at the scriptures before, the verses before and after. It really does look as if it's talking about God. So I believe that's who it's talking about. But there are some that also think that it may be talking about those around us, which would also fit into this whole picture here. Let's go to verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Again, his character. Loving us. I can't tell you enough this morning how much God loves us. I can give you a little bit of an idea, but you need to experience it for yourself. You need to know what it feels like on your own. I can't give that to you. That's got to be received by yourself. Opening up and coming into agreement with him. We didn't finish that verse, did we? Verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the atoning sacrifice. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Why couldn't he just leave that verse out? There's a reason for it, isn't it? He loved us. Remember what I told you about the Pepsi here a while ago? It makes you want to drink a Pepsi, doesn't it? Remember here a while ago, I told you when we open up, we shake up a can. Maybe I didn't say it that way, but when we open up a can, a drink that is fizzy, a Pepsi or a Coke or something, all of a sudden it bubbles out and it just flows, doesn't it? We're not too thrilled about it because it runs down over the sides of the can and it makes a mess. But I want us to think about that as God's love coming into us. And we become so full of what he gives us that it spills over to those around us. Not something that we can contain and just keep to ourselves. It needs to be shown by our walk to those around us. There's something about that person. We ought also to love one another. That's one of the ways it comes out. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now we're going to skip to another verse again. We're going to go over to verse 20. This phrase in here that he says, no man has seen God at any time, like, what in the world are you talking about? It doesn't fit with the rest of it. So let's go to verse 20. It says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? We can see the brotherhood. We can see those we work with, those that we associate with. And we can love. We've never seen God. None of us. We've never seen God, so we love by faith, don't we? He loved us. We love back because we believe He is. We've seen what He does. And so we love Him. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And I talked about that not too long ago, about the down payment that He made to us of an eternity with Him. When He left, He said, I'm going to send my Spirit, the Comforter, to be with you as a down payment. So when you leave, you can come be with me. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We've already been in verse 15 and 16. So we're going to go on down to 17. Herein, that refers back to 16. About God being love, dwelling in Him, Him in us. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. That's the third power verse that I want to think about. Herein is our love made perfect. Did you know your love can be perfect? That's what He says here. It's made whole. It's made complete. As we love Him, He loves us. We're in communication with each other, and the love flows out to those around us. We are made perfect in love. And it adds something there. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Every single one of us is going to come to that judgment sometime. I can run, I can hide, I can do anything I want to try to get away from that judgment. Am I going to be able to get away? Will you? No. What is the boldness in the day of judgment? We were made perfect in love. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And when I think about the fact that there is no condemnation, I had to think about walking into a courtroom. And I may not say this perfectly right, but I walk into a courtroom because I am guilty of crimes. I walk into a courtroom and I get up and I stand in front of the judge. And I know I'm going to get a sentence and it's not going to be good because I'm guilty. But somebody walks up to the judge with a piece of paper, hands it to the judge. The judge reads the paper. And he looks at me and he says, you're free. It's paid. You are not condemned. God sent His Son, Jesus. The sin that I committed, the crimes, the guilt, the shame that I have in my life, He said, I'll take it. He went to the cross and He took all of that on Himself. And when I come to the day of judgment, because I've come into agreement with Him and because I love Him and He loves me and I love those around me and I've chosen to walk with Him, when I walk up to that judgment seat, I believe Jesus is going to come up and say, taken care of. Not guilty. Is it anything I did? No. I just agreed with Him. I just came into agreement with what He said He would like to do for me. So I have to ask the question this morning. Are you in agreement with that? Are you one that has come to the foot of the cross and you've repented, you've given yourself to God as a vessel and said, here I am, take me. Do with me whatever you want. So when I come to you in glory, you will be my advocate. You will be there to say, he's not guilty. This is one of yours. I believe this morning, as my cousin came to that time of stepping across, because he walked with the Father here in this life, he stepped into light. The battle's over. Many of you have lost loved ones lately. If they've been walking with the Lord, the battle's over. Forever. In all of eternity with Christ. Or for those that aren't walking with God, forever lost. Never another opportunity. Friends, that needs to shake us. We look around us and we see everything that's happening. I believe he's coming back soon. I hope you believe the same. There's so much going on in the world right now that lines up with what Scripture says. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Aren't you glad for his mercy? According to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let's get back to verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We talked about perfection here a little bit ago. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to go to verse 15. Here Jesus is talking to the disciples, and this is what he tells them. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present yet with you. And we're going to stop there. But what I want us to see in there, he's starting to put things into, shall we say, shoe leather. If you love me, there are things that you are, ways you are to live in this life. If you don't keep my commandments, love God, love people, those are the two that cover everything. If you don't follow those, you're not part of me. So I had to ask myself that question as I was studying. Where am I at with that? Am I loving God? Am I loving people? They connect. They're tight together. They're not to be separated. If we truly love Jesus, he's going to dwell with us and we in him. He's in us, we are in him. I want you to listen as I read a couple of verses in closing here out of Ephesians. Maybe you're wondering by now, how in the world does this title, Do All for the Glory of God, tie in with what I've said so far? And here's my answer to that. If I don't love, if I don't accept His love, I can do all I want and it will not be to the glory of God. I have to receive that love and give that love. Ephesians 1 verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Here he's talking about the Jews. That we should be to the praise of His glory, those, the Jews, who first trusted in Christ. And then he says, in whom ye also, the Gentiles, trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. We're sealed. Now, I know we don't believe in eternal security, but maybe we believe it just a little more than what we think. I shared with you before about when we walk with Christ. Scripture talks about this. When we walk with Christ, we are committed. We are given to Him and He uses us for His glory. How that no man can take us. That's Scripture. We have a choice. We can step away from it. But as long as we follow, as long as we walk in love and we honor and glorify Him, no man can take us. That's what it says. That is our sealing, being sealed, I believe, with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have an inheritance coming that is beyond any inheritance we could receive in this earth. Maybe your mom and dad passed away. They were multimillionaires. You received $2 or $3 million. It's nothing in comparison with what we have in eternity if we walk with Christ. It is such a beautiful thing. You and I have been created to live for the praise of His glory. And we do that every day as we come in contact with people. Every day. We should be showing something that honors and glorifies God. Here's a little bit of a catch. And please hear me out on this. It sounds like maybe I'm a little off key here, but hang on. We come to church on Sunday. We get on our best faces because we want to look good, don't we? Is there something wrong with that? No. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now I ask a question. Is there a possibility that we've made Sunday something more than we should be, than it should be? Let me ask another question before you go off of that one. Or have we made every day of the week less than it should be? Here's what I want us to realize this morning. I'm not sure if I'll explain this correctly or not. But over time as a culture, we have lifted Sunday high. And that's okay. Sunday is a day of worship we set aside. We're no longer under the Sabbath. That's gone. But the first day of the week, we've set it high, and that's good. But here's where I want us to think a little bit. Have I lowered the rest of the week too low? In other words, when I live out the week, I forget about Christ. And then I come to church on Sunday, and I get to thinking about, you know, I really didn't walk with Christ during the week. I'm going to make up for it on Sunday. Monday comes around, and I go right back to where I was. Not living for Him. I'm living for self. Do you follow what I'm saying? Some of you. We walk with Christ every day, not just on Sundays. If we're just a Sunday going to church kid, we're missing something. It's an everyday walk with Him. We are to make His name great every day. What I do in business has to be to the praise of His glory. What I do at work on Monday morning has to be to the praise of His glory. How I relate to my spouse has to be to the praise of His glory. How I treat my employees has to be to the praise of His glory. How I respond to my boss has to be to the praise of His glory. How I love my children has to be to the praise of His glory. Let's go a step further. Time's running out. I'm sorry. I'm going to close here in just a second. Let's take this a step further. We got communion coming up here soon. We have council meeting. There's something that happens when council meeting shows up. All of a sudden, we begin to look back. How have I lived? You know, what I have in my possession, I can't go along to communion with what I have. So I'm going to toss that out until communion's over. I'm going to go pick it up again. Do I have a clean heart to go to communion? No. What if we came to church this morning and Dana came up here and said, this morning we're having communion. Would you be willing to take communion this morning, or could you take communion this morning? Is your heart at the place that you could take communion this morning? I know Scripture talks about looking at our life so there is none sick amongst us. But don't you think that is supposed to be every day also? That we look at our walk, we look at our life, and we ask Him to test us and see, am I real? If we don't do that, we are going to come to a testing sometime. And if we have not prepared for that, friends are going to miss it. I'm going to close. But I want you to do something this week. In connection with love, in connection with walking with the Father in purity, I'd like for you to read 1 Corinthians 13. And I want you to take something other than the King James, okay? Some of you don't like if we read out of anything but the King James. Take a translation that simplifies it, okay? You can compare with the King James and see if everything is in it. That's okay. It's good. Take something that simplifies it. And I want you to pretend that you have never read 1 Corinthians 13. And I don't want you to read it looking at others around you. I want you to read it looking here. And ask yourself the question, am I walking as 1 Corinthians tells me to? I'm excited about serving Christ. I'm excited about love. I'm excited about living life to do all to the glory of God. Do I fail? Yeah, way too many times. We all do. But God's grace, His mercy, says, come. I will forgive and we'll keep moving on. Friends, He's coming back soon. We have to be ready. If we miss it, it's forever. If He says, well done, it's forever. Stand with me as we pray. Lord, again, You've reminded us this morning of Your great love. We, so many times, Father, go about our duties. And Lord, we expect You to bless us, because we think we deserve it. Father, we know we deserve hell. But because of Your love, Your mercy, and sending Your Son, Lord, we have such an awesome opportunity to enjoy life here. And Lord, to understand about eternity and to enjoy life with You all throughout of eternity. Lord, lay a heavy burden on our hearts to be faithful in our walk with You. You in us. Us in You. We just want to bless You this morning. Guide us this week. Help us, Father, to be faithful. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.